Brother Nang, I'm sure all of you know this, but for the recording's sake, Brother Nang Nang So is the first Bible student in Myanmar in modern times. Myanmar is formerly known as Burma, and has traditionally been the country with the largest English-speaking population in Southeast Asia. Brother Nang's mother taught English. Brother Nang learned English well. He wanted to be a Christian minister, was sent to India to a seminary school, where in Bangalore he saw notices for a public meeting by Brother Varma. He attended and was immediately taken with the message of the truth. And secretly, unknown to the seminarians, during the week, he would attend meetings with Brother Varma in the evening in his free time. I believe Brother Nang was there for approximately a year, learned the truth, went back to Myanmar with a set of studies in the scriptures, I think a big 7-in-1 green book and a concordance, and started to preach the truth in the churches that he had been assigned to. So the churches rejected him. And finally, he was alone. He reached out to the address in the volumes in Fort Worth, which got in touch with us, who we then got in touch with Brother Nang. And we sent a brother from India to immerse him. And after that, we stayed in constant contact with Brother Nang, who shared the light of present truth steadfastly in Yangon, starting all by himself. And then we'll let him tell the story after that. Question period. But we'll now have his discourse. We are but dust. Brother Nang, turn the meeting over to you.
Thank you so much, Brother. Greeting to all in the name of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We do send our greetings from Myanmar to our brothers and sisters in OCBS. I thank God for this opportunity to serve you, though I am not perfect. I would like to thank you for this opportunity that you had given me. But it is a challenge for me, because I never preach in English and I have problem in English, not well. Especially my pronunciation is not good. So I do not know that you may understand my discourse or not, but I hope that you may understand it according to the scriptures. The topic of my discourse is, we are dust. It is based upon the reference. The title came to in my mind when our dear brother Samuel lost his life in painful condition 2 months ago. I hope that you may know about him. many of our brothers and sisters had been surprised. However, the death of our brother Samuel of Yangon Ecclesia has had a good effect upon many of the dear ones most intimate with him. We cannot say that we have been awakened to fresh vigilance. Who does make a renewal of consecration vows and seal in such sacrifice by this incident? Therefore, I became to think more and more that we are dust in nature, and that is possible for us. And also, as a new creature, our change surely will come in some day or some time. I question for myself, would I have been ready had the call suddenly come to me or not? So, the topic that we are going to study together is, we are dust. There are five points in my discourse. The first point is, we are dust in nature. All human beings are mortal. Job chapter 4, verse 17. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? In KJV, we can see mortal man. Psalm 103, verse 14. For he himself knows our frame, he is mindful that we are but dust. Here I would like to emphasize that we are dust in nature and we are made of dust, and someday it will return to the dust in nature. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Genesis 3:19. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. We all know that these texts have no special reference to the church, but all mankind must be died. Only nature must die. As we are dust in nature, we are mortal. Our bodies are temporary and not perfect. It may have pain, sorrow, and dying condition. So that is possible for us and for all. No one can escape from this as a human being. Regarding the dying condition, I would like to quote from Philippians 2:5-1. We all are in dying condition, partially dead, mentally, morally, and physically. From the moment of birth and before it, we have been in the clutches of death. He never lets go until he has conquered. Man, by means of mitigated aid, attempts resistance, but at best, it is but a very brief struggle. Aaron, because physically perfect, could offer great resistance. That did not completely conquer him for 930 years. While there is at the present time, true death accumulate 800 down, true generation past, yield to his power on average in about 32 years. We know that as a new creature, we are under the providence of God. But we should remember that our bodies that we sacrifice are mortal and temporary. Our only course will end in some day. It is necessary for us to finish our course of dying in real death. Brother Rasa said in volume 1, page 213, it is only as new creatures that saints of this age are on the way to life, and only as human beings are we consecrated to destruction as sacrifice. The human is reckoned of God as dead now, and must actually die, never again to be restored. The apostle said that the present mortal bodies of the saints are temporary tent or early house. It will be broken down or dissolved. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if the early tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. In due time, we will change to new nature or heavenly nature. So the early house should be torn down. We do not know when maybe. Every member of the church must die somehow. In some, it may come early. In others, it may come late. I would like to quote from reference 5173. In some instances, death may come early. In others, it may come late. Saint Stephen was faithful unto death, which came early in his Christian experience. Saint Peter was also faithful, but met his death after a long lifetime. As we are dust in nature, we are mortal, and our life is short. Our change may come at any moment. The present mortal bodies of the saint will be brought down in due time. That is, we do not know. Second point is, why do people and we suffer pain and sorrow and die? We know that because of the original sin or the sins of our first parents. Apostle Paul explained this in Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sins, and so death spread to all men because of all sin. As a result of sin, God permitted the evil upon the entire human race for the past 6,000 years or more. It was a learning all of us. Ecclesiastes 3:10. I have seen the trivial that God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Again, Ecclesiastes 1:13. This sort trivial has God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. The sort trivial means the present condition in the world of suffering, sorrow, nature, disaster, injustice, disease, and death. God has permitted these evil conditions to mankind to be exercised in it. It indicates that somehow mankind is going to be benefited from this terrible experience and painful condition, as like how physical exercise benefits the body. There are great lessons that are going to be learned by being exercised in it. I would like to read from reprint 250. God didn't know evil, and he permitted only because it was necessary that his creature should know good from evil. By being made acquainted with sin and its consequence, sickness, misery, and death, they might learn the exceeding sinful of sin and having this, that the bitter wages of sin is death. They might be prepared to be choose life and to understand the wisdom and love of God in commanding obedience to his righteous laws. Therefore, by this way, mankind will be benefit in future, or this way will prove later to be blessing for all mankind, as we read in Hebrews 12:11. All discipline for the moment seem not to be joyful, but sorrow, yet to those who had been trained by it, afterward, it yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness. But the case is quite different with the saint or consecrated ones. The ministry of evil to us is for testing and polishing and refining, making us ready and proving us worthy as overcomers to inherit the wonderful things which God has in reservation for the faithful. We see that we suffer and die just like other men. Disease lay hold of us, death overtake us as well as other men. Apostle Paul explained this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. There can be no accident happen to the lost consecrated ones viewed from the divine standpoint. Romans 8:28. And we know that God calls all things to work together for good to those who have loved God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This temptation and testing and difficulties that God has given to us in his wisdom are for good to our spiritual life and for our advantage. This work out for us an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For momentary light affliction is protection for us an eternal weight of glory for beyond all comparison. I would like to read from Philippians 1:5-6:1. The present life, being preparatory, is time for the schooling and discipline of the sons of God, and their subjection to the present ills, while it is often painful, is recognized by them as necessary in the providence of God, to work out for them an exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, but God did not heed it, because God, seeing that his affliction or weak eyes could be made to work to divine glory and his own advantage. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. Because of the sufficient greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Again, I would like to read from Philippians 1:5-6:1. And this present peace and joy in realization of divine forgiveness and favor and privilege of present experience disciplines and instruction under the divine tutorship is the present advantage of the Son of God, while an eternal weight of glory is a store for all who prove faithful unto it, In his discipline, we may have some painful condition, we may have some difficulties, we may have some disease, we may have our chain as we are thus in nature. We thank God for his plan and our privilege of trying and discipline under the present reign or event. We need to submit to the Lord's providing care and leading. Do not reserve to the providence of God. We should rightly exercise in it. That's why our death is not ultimate death. We may have been surprised because of the lost dearship, lost their lives in an accident or not. Every member of the church must die somehow, but our death is not ultimate death. Our death is sacrificial death because we are redeemed from the ultimate death by our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:1, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I would like to quote reprint 5093. This is the attitude in which we stand. We have accepted the Redeemer. We are seeking to walk in his steps. We are lifted up out of condemnation. We are no longer dead in Adam. After we have accepted the Redeemer, then we have made a covenant with God by sacrifice, or by the complete consecration of ourselves. Psalm 15, verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. As a living sacrificing, the giving of our life in consecration will finish at death. As we have made a full consecration of ourselves, even unto death, it will finish at our death. We thank God that our death is not ultimate death, but sacrificial death. Brother Russell said in question book 212, a consecrated child of God could not die the ultimate death. His death would either be the sacrificial death or second death. If when he died, he were a consecrated child of God, his death would be merely a completion of consecration which he had previously made. Again, question book 221, consecration, dying daily and finally assured death. They are all precious to the Father. If we faithful and do death, our daily dying the sacrificial death or the real death is precious to the Father. Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his holy ones. If we faithful and do death, we will be changed in the moment of death. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Again, 1 Corinthians 15:50-52. Now, I say this, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Dear brother and sister, how blessed time is for us We are still living during the first resurrection. How reward will be for us, even though we need to face the dead as we are dust. We are called to glory from the dust. We are called to the divine nature from the mortal. First Peter 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fade not away, reserved in heaven for you. So we thank God our death is not Adam's death. Our death is changed to glory from the dust. Fourth point, according to our sacrificing human being, healing is not the will of God for us, because we have already consecrated ourselves unto death. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I ask you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Apostle Paul had the weariness and pains and hunger and thirst and cold and nakedness, and he said he gloried in this much of his faithfulness. He mentioned not one word about praying for the removal of this by divine power. 2 Corinthians 11:20-30. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, and often without food, in cold and exposure. If I have to boast, I will boast of what pertains to my wickedness. In the one occasion, he prayed for the restoration of his sight, but the Lord refused his request, telling him it was best for him. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfect in wickedness. Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, who was often troubled with indigestion, to use wine as a medicine. 1 Timothy 5:23. No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. There is no account of the healing of the sick among the early disciples. It was not because they were never sick. I would like to quote from Reference 2007. A special reason why the saint cannot properly ask for physical health and early luxuries, we have already intimated, is that they, like their Lord, have consecrated themselves and pledged to God the exchange of all earthly favor and privilege for the heavenly favor and glory to come. I have a testimony of Brother Samuel, who died 2 months ago. When he was in hospital, his relatives and his wife's relatives came to him. They all are from nominal Christian churches. Some of them wanted to pray for healing. One day, one pastor came to him with his sister and wanted to pray for him by using the wine, according to James 5:14. But Brother Samuel rejected. He surprised him. However, Brother Samuel had a chance to tell the truth. He had some opportunity to witness the truth by his words and also by his action when he was in treatment. We should not expect healing from sickness, suffering, pains, and trials and difficulties as we have consecrated to God and to death. We should not take back again, as we are dust and our bodies are not perfect. The usual sickness and pains came to us as well as to the world in nature way. These should be treated as the world treats them, but both with greater patience and cheerfulness. We should take blessing out of them. The last point, are we ready to offer our early form? We all know that our early form must be died as we are dead in nature. As a new creature, the body that we have consecrated to death must die. Our Lord Jesus Christ laid off his early form for us. Luke 23:46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hand commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. As did Jesus, so we all must fully lose humanity. Stephen was stoned to death. He returned to the dust. Acts 7:59. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit that is thine. Peter realized that the time of his departure was drawing nigh. 2 Peter 1:14. Knowing that the laying aside of my early dwelling is imminent, as also Lord Jesus Christ had made clear to me. And also, Paul realized that the time of his departure was at hand and he was ready to offer. 2 Timothy 4:6-7. For I am already being poured out as a grain offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I would like to read a question for this test. At what time in the Christian experience should he be able to give such a testimony? Brother Russell answered in question book 274. I do not read all for time's sake. When we have reached the mark of perfect love in heart, we will be able to say, I am ready to be offered. Again he said, I should be very pleased if the Lord should want me now to pass beyond the veil. We should live in that condition of heart every day and hour and should not be satisfied with anything short of that. I would like to quote from volume 6, page 369. Knowing that unless we do attain that mark, we will not be copies of God's dear Son and cannot therefore in the largest sense please God, and hence cannot be joined here with Jesus in the kingdom. That is the mark for which we are to run and stand fast there at. While we are still dust. God graciously give us time to run this race, to develop this character while we are still in flesh. Apostle Paul exhorted us to run the mark of the prize and to faithful at that mark. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Ephesians 6:13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Nevertheless, it is essential to us that we do attain that mark of perfect love in heart. If we will be joined in us with God's dear Son as member of the new creation, it is essential to us that we do attain that mark of perfect love in heart if we will be able to say, I am ready to be offered. It is high time to attain the mark of perfect love in heart as quickly as possible. It is high time to stand at that mark. It is high time to be more energetic now to make sure about His calling and choosing you. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. In conclusion, as we are dust in nature, the dust shall return to the dust. The present mortal bodies of the saint is temporary death. It will be brought down in some day. Why do we suffer and pain and die? This work out for us eternal weight of glory if we rightly exercise in it. We thank God that our death is not atomic death. Our death is to change to glory from the dust. We should not expect the healing from sickness and pains and trials and difficulties as we have consecrated to the Lord and to death. We should take blessing out of them. Finally, I would like to ask myself, am I ready to be offered? This question is especially for me. May God bless you, dear brother and sister, in Jesus Christ.
Dear Brother Nang, thank you so very much. Very blessed discourse. We appreciate that the recent death of our dear brother Samuel, after his long battle with illness, is still heavy on your brother's heart. Many here did not know he was a faithful translator with you, the Harvest Message. And we appreciate learning that he rejected the attempted faith healings by his family members from the nominal churches. Very faithful witness. So Brother Nang, we'd like to open the meeting for questions to you for a time. And we ask the brethren to raise your hands, and I'll acknowledge you, and speak slowly for Brother Nang. He reads and understands and hears English better than expressing it, because he does not have as the necessity of speaking English often. So you don't get the same practice. And I'll also add, myself the worst, we have an accent to our English. So Burmese English has its own accents that Brother Nang would be more used to. So, okay. With that, Brother Adi, please.
Brother Nang, I'm interested in understanding what part of the truth message drew you into the Bible student movement. Was there anything in particular that was better taught than what you learned in the nominal systems?
So, Brother Nang, if you'd like to answer that, or if you'd like Brother Adi to repeat his question, please unmute him.
Please, I do not understand.
Let me try.
Please try.
So what interested you in the truth? What message appeals to you in the truth?
This mean you mean?
Yes.
What true are you interested?
Yes.
Yeah.
Before I came to truth, you mean?
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. When I was in Bangalore, I did receive pamphlet from Bangalore Bible student. Then I saw that pamphlet three ways I'm interested, and then I want to know these three ways, and I attended that public meeting. So I came to know the truth, the first, this three ways lesson.
Thank you.
What truth doctrine appealed to you at first, Brother Nang?
The first doctrine is soul doctrine.
Why did that appeal to you?
I do not understand.
What surprised you about the doctrine of the soul?
In our country, Many do not believe the soul. Man has soul. They believe, huh? They don't believe man is soul. So this is very, very, very important for us, for me, and so I did that doctrine is, this is more interesting for me.
Very good. Other questions, brethren?
Is there a question?
Brother Godwin.
Thank you, Brother Rick. Brother Nang, I would like to know how many members do you have right now as a fellowship, as an ecclesia right now?
Now we have 25 consecrated in Yangon and 9 consecrated in Asuji village, 4 consecrated in Piago village, and another 4 consecrated in Tayago village. We have 4 ecclesia in Yangon 25, another 9 consecrated is Suji village in Tayagong, 4 consecrated in Piagong, 4 consecrated.
It sounds like there is a total of 52 consecrated in the country of Myanmar.
Yes.
Very good.
Some consecrated members are passed away. 4 consecrated members are passed away.
Passed away.
4 have died.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We need to pray for them.
Yeah. Ruth or Marilyn?
Brother Nang, so you received the three ways and the soul truth doctrines in Bangalore, and you returned to Myanmar. So what did you do? What was your first step to start witnessing there at that point? Over.
After I came back from Bangalore, I stepped to tell the truth in my church, but they did not accept it. So I witnessed that I tell the truth for those who are near me, and I stand and I tell the truth in some in village and some in churches. But at the first time, little difficult for me to share the truth, but many are not interested in the truth. And after that, Brother Red, he sent Brother Kurishino to me, and he helped me, he gave me the 53 lesson in English. Then I translate and I start the public meeting at the time.
Thank you. Thank you. That answered that. You started public meetings using the doctrines of the truth from the 53 lessons.
Yes.
And you started in your home, you started meetings?
Blind school. Blind school. I started meeting. Blind school.
Blind school.
Okay.
And then how did the truth spread to these villages?
Villages, I went there and I contacted the public meeting there. Was a monk. I went there and contacted the public meeting for 1 year.
So Brother Nang is related that he first started the public witness meetings in Yangon at a school for the blind, mainly blind children and young people. It is a Christian organization, but the man who we met, he is an independent Christian. And the Buddhist government allows that school, Christian school for the blind, to continue because they accept any children to the school. And in fact, that's where Sister Flashy, his wife, worked and heard meetings. But then he also went out to these villages once a month to also public witness. Brother Nang, do you have anything to add to that? All right. Sister Roseanne, your question?
Hi, Brother Nang. Thank you so much for your talk. I really feel very privileged and blessed to have you in our meeting, knowing all that you have done. I want to ask you, is there much, do you receive much persecution from the Buddhists? Period.
We do not have persecution from Buddha. We have, especially for us, we have persecution from nominal Christian. But in Myanmar, political situation, many nominal Christians are persecuted by our government. Some years ago, the reason of political, some Buddhist against the Christian. Now we do not see, but persecution from Buddhists. Now is peace in between religious now.
Thank you very much. And again, we welcome you and your wife to our ecclesia. I hope you come again.
Before I call on Ruth and Sister Marilee, Brother Nang, does the current government allow any Christians to build new churches? Or do they prohibit or stop the building of new churches? You're muted. You're muted. Brother Nang, you're muted.
They allow to build in church. They're not against for to build the building. Our government is not they allow.
Okay, good.
They allow.
That is a change from the past. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Sister Marilee?
I appreciate your understanding of the plan of God on this basic subject of we are of dust, and yet that is the flesh that now is the vessel of the new creature. But as new creatures, we are one with you and with all of our brethren around the world. I appreciate the background to realize that your mother taught English and taught you English. You can see how God was preparing your background for the present.
Yes.
That you could accept the truth and also read it in a language you could comprehend that was available. And that's how the Lord works. Many times he prepares things unknown to us because in the future, our lives would require it. And it's been a joy to me to know that you have been able to do this witness work and speak to individuals of whatever persuasion they were. I've never had the opportunity or experience of witnessing to the heathen world. And I mean those who were not Christian. I have had opportunity to witness to Christians and perhaps to atheists or agnostics. But the closest that I came to heathen was a sister, well, became a sister who had come from India. And one of her first questions to me was in regards to the heathen and their relationship to God. But other than that, I've not experienced that. So I appreciate the fact that as a Christian for a long time, that you have had the experience and the opportunity of witnessing to those who are outside of that realm. Whether they believe now or not, they will hear in the day of their visitation. So keep the work going. We are praying for you and those like Brother Rick or Sister Ruth who have been there in Myanmar have sought to encourage you in a more physical way. There is many of us who have been praying for you unknown to you, but I'm sure by God's grace giving you strength to press on. Lord bless.
Thank you so much, sister. Thank you so much for your encouragement and for your praying for us.
Brother Dan.
Brother Nang, what a blessing it is to see you and to hear your discourse. It was a great blessing. We especially thank you for the question that you pose to yourself and to us. When we're reminded by the death of a dear brother or sister or a loved one that we are but dust, that we have been called to serve the Lord now, this high calling to sacrifice the life that we could live to enjoy the good things of this life, but we have a privilege of enjoying the better things, the spiritual, and to be a blessing to all mankind. We need to consider what a grand privilege we have, and remind ourselves our purpose in life. And your talk really reminded us and encouraged us to think deeply on the blessings God has given us. I wanted to say that we really appreciate reading your reports. They're very encouraging. And they're inspiring to us. We're inspired to be more faithful as witnesses, use our time and talent to let others know that we have a loving God with a loving plan. We remember you, dear Brother Nang, and the brethren in Myanmar, in our prayers, in your difficult circumstances of life. We appreciate your steadfastness. And once again, it is a wonderful blessing to see see your face and hear the words that you speak. May the Lord continue to bless you as you serve the Lord and the brethren in Myanmar. And we just wanted to say that you are a blessing to us and an inspiration by the good work that you do. May the Lord continue to bless you along those lines.
Thank you. Thank you so much, brother. Thank you so much.
Very good. Ruth, you have another question or comment?
Can you describe to us what your meetings are like in Yangon, and how far do brethren come? How far are they that come?
In Yangon, sister?
Yeah.
Yes. In Yangon.
Sister, you in Yangon.
In Yangon.
For some brothers and sisters not far from my apartment, some brothers and sisters, they are very near, but some brothers and sisters, they come to our meeting 2 hour journeys. Some brothers 3 hour journeys. Some a little. Some are not so far, but 30 minutes they can come to me.
Thank you.
And how do you conduct the meetings on Sunday in your apartment?
Nowadays, we cannot conduct the meeting in my apartment according to political situation. So we conduct the meeting every Sunday 10:30. I am my wife, and then we record our message, and after that we send quickly message to our brethren by Fiverr media. We send our audio file everyone to every week. We cannot meet together now.
Do you ever get to see one another in person?
Some we can meet. Some we cannot meet.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Sister Alice.
What is the subject you study with the group of brethren? What do you study together?
We now study together Forum Sis, we now study.
What chapter?
Chapter 3. Calling of the new creatures. We have been studying now.
Do you have testimony meetings?
Yeah, we have sometime testimony meeting in our Sunday meeting. We used to have testimony meeting, yes.
Anything more, Sister Alice?
No.
Okay. So, brethren, Brother Nang would hold meetings in their apartment. He has moved several times, and each time when he moves, he tries to improve the situation to allow for more brethren to meet at their home. And I think your apartment is on the third floor?
First floor. Yes.
It's not up all those stairs we walked when we were there?
No.
Oh, good for you. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. So first floor apartment. But when they could meet before the coup, Brother Nang was relating some would travel from as far as 3 hours to attend the meetings on Sunday. Okay. Sister Cheryl.
I want to thank you so much for your wonderful talk. How profitable it is to me. It goes along with yesterday's manna that I have been thinking on. And the last line of the manna says, "And this much learned of God's plan and will promptly teaches us that we must not expect and should not ask freedom from pain and trouble, which his wisdom has ordained to be the path of glory." And many times I have prayed for death in my life, and it's been very improper because I only prayed it to relieve me from trial. So hearing your words and having the appropriate lessons and encouragements helps us to grow and strengthen us that we might have the proper attitude. So I'm very grateful for your talk, and it's such a privilege to meet you and see you. You look different than I expected. You look very normal and human. I'm not sure what I thought, but you're a very lovely man and your wife also. And it brings my heart great joy to see you. And I will remember you in my prayers. And again, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much.
Ruth?
Brother Nang, in your studies, do the brethren participate, or do you just speak the truth and they just look up scripture? Do they ask questions? Do they answer questions as part of your meeting? Over.
In our meeting, after we study the subject, they ask the question and we answer. But nowadays, we do not meet in person. We do not have the meeting in our apartment. Now we do not have also submitting. So we send our message now by audio file. But after they listen, some ask question by phone.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, I appreciate your wife wearing a head covering.
Yes, yes.
I appreciate that very much. I realize in other countries, particularly, it seems sisters and brothers are more aware of the head covering and use it in one way or another, either a babushka or like your wife and I have and Ruth has and the other sisters. But there are some who do not do that. And so that was very impressive. Please let her know that she was a witness to me by that example. Over.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, brethren, we have reached our time. We will have a hymn, and afterwards, Brother Nang, we will have you close with a word of prayer. There will be a 15-minute break or stop, and then we will have our first volume study for another hour and 15 minutes, of which you are welcome to stay for. And Sister Day, you are also certainly welcome to stay for. So we'll close here. We'll have the hymn, and then we'll have your prayer, please.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me, how he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary.
I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way.
Yes, I'll sing.
Yes, I'll sing.
The wondrous story.
The wondrous story.
I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Faint was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and tears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrows Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. He will keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet, then he'll bear me safely over where the loved ones I shall meet.
Yes, I'll sing
the wondrous song.
Our Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you. We thank you for your begotten Son that you have given us. We thank you for the justification that you have given us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the high calling in Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can together with brother and sister in OCBS. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for you bless us from the beginning of this meeting and to the end of the meeting. Thank you for you remember us. You remember us that we are dust. Our Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your words more and more and strengthen us in order to make our election sure. You bless us according to your will. Be glorified everything we do. And commit all these things into your hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.